Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Let us enter into worship. What's going on here? How to behave in church? Well, I know how to behave. Well, just come sit and sing. That's what how to behave, isn't it? Come sit here and sing. That's what how to be. No, I'm not going that route. I'm going basically theologically. So you might relax. But we're going to sing hymns about the church. And it has to do basically with a local church like our own. The first one is, Jesus with thy church abide, be her Savior, Lord, and Guide, 278. Selected four hymns this morning. The reason they are longer hymns, some of them, like the next one, 270, the church's one foundation, 270.
Elect from every nation.
hymnal, Roman numeral 12, you have the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. Roman numeral 12, would you find that, please? And this morning I'd like us to stand and read the Apostles' Creed. We're talking about the local church, and then I'd like us to do something that we haven't done for a while, to pray the Lord's Prayer collectively. Now, you need to treat punctuation marks as periods, or we'll have a race. Let us stand as we read the Apostles' Creed, and then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let us pray the prayer that the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, well, to pray, he gives us this outline. So let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let's recapitulate as what's going on here. What do you mean? What are you talking about the church? I thought you said you're in Ephesians. I am. Well, you got 1 Timothy, a third chapter, instead of Ephesians. Well, there are references called cross-references, and I use them. And we're come to the matter of the church. You know, I had preached on the matter that what a New Testament church is in Acts 2. Qualifications for a New Testament church. Yeah. Then I mentioned to you that God's glory is in the church, and tried to show you how that he has... where his glory was. So, yeah. Now, this morning you're going to talk to us about how to behave in the church? Yes. Well, that seems a little strange. Well, it's not really. There's five pastoral letters in the New Testament. 1st and 2nd Timothy and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Titus. And they're letters to basically to church leaders and telling how to operate the local churches. This morning we come to the fact that the Lord is explaining that the church is the house of God. And that's different. And he said when you go to the house of God, or in the house of God, you got to behave yourselves. Well, the best of behavior. Well, you know, if you were invited to the White House, there's protocol. You just barge right in and walk right in. Hi there, how you doing? No, you don't. There's protocol. England, there's more. They have more than we do. We're getting more, shall we say, casual. But there's protocol. Things you don't do, things you dare do. And we have protocol in the house of God. I'm speaking primarily to the local church, like our own church. There are some protocols. And it is designed in this Timothy passage that how preachers ought to behave themselves. Well, don't they? No, not necessarily. They're men. And some preachers don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God. And deacons, there's some deacons that don't know how to behave themselves either. They think they're boss men or something, in my experience. And then there's those who fellowship together. There's... protocol. Those of you who are fellowshippers are those of us, because I fellowship also. And even talks about how wives ought to behave in the church. What? Yes. So this morning I'd like us to take a look at this passage in the third chapter. I suppose you're there by now. Actually, Paul's writing to Timothy. He's a young preacher. And they had problems in the church at Ephesus. And we just had a good study on the church at Ephesus in Revelation. It's the same church. And we studied about it. Now, Paul had he saw there was heresies and false teachings come in. He said, now, young man, Timothy, young preacher, I want you to go to Ephesus. And while you're there, these are the things I want you to consider by the Spirit of God. This is the Word of God. It is the inspiration of God. It's not man-made. And I start to read the last three verses of 1 Timothy 3. Paul's writing by the Spirit of God, verse 14, these things write on to you, hoping to come on to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Great hymn, a great verse. I think we ought to try to look at it. Just kind of hang in there to the verse 15. Paul planned to come, and he said, you know, I don't know when I'll be there, but until I get there as the apostle and the church founder of the church at Ephesus, he said, now, Timothy, here's what I want, that you may know how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, I was talking about a local church. You say, well, where does it say Baptist church here? Well, it doesn't say that. But it does say, if you notice, that is the church of the living God. You say, well, why don't we have that for a title? That's all right. But that's a great name. What is a local church referred to as the church of the living God? Yeah, well, so maybe you ought to explain to us what church means. Some people get confused. They go down the road and say, well, there's a Baptist church, there's a Methodist church, there's a Presbyterian church, there's a Catholic church, there's the church! No, that's not biblical. Actually, our sign's not right. What do you mean the sign's not right? This is where the church meets. It's only a church when you meet here. Otherwise, it's my house, part of my house. That sign says there is a building back here. Well, we do meet back here in a building, yeah, but it's only a church when people are there. Church is not mortar and bricks. You understand it that way, don't you? There's the church. That's the church. Wait a minute. That's not Bible. Yes, I know that it's religious. You call it a temple or whatever you want to call it. It's only a church. A church means called out once. Called out once. Called out of the world. Those who have been regenerated, they've been renewed by the Spirit of God, and they are part of His church, the church, the body of Christ. One of these days, that bride and the bridegroom are going to get together. What a glorious day that will be. He said, I'm coming back. Now, this word church could be actually, and I'm inclined that way, to refer to it as an assembly. Now, that would knock away some of your ideas of always calling a brick-and-mortar church if you refer to it as an assembly. And the old boys used to do that. Well, what do you mean? It's the assembly of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And I think the word assembly suits me a little better than saying church, 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 because you think of buildings, or we do. And it's not that at all. It's talking about people, an assembly of people of the living God. It's not a club. Well, what do you mean? Well, some of us have been members of clubs. Well, what's the difference between a club and a church? Well, there's a great difference. First of all, a club, you can believe most anything you want to believe. Most clubs that I've been associated with, you can be a Republican, Democrat, Baptist, Lutheran, whatever. You can be, as long as you agree to a certain premise that you're meeting together about. Oh, Okay. That's not a church. There are rules, there are doctrines, there are principles that one must understand, abide by, to be associated with an assembly of God's people, of the living church. That is, the church, the assembly of the living God is what I want to say. And it's a living church. Well, all churches are living. They have a preacher, and they got a deacons, and they got a treasurer or something. What do you mean they're not dead? See, here's where we have problems. We're to worship in the realm of spirit and truth. And if you don't want to go by this book, you'll get confused. There are churches that are dead. No, yes. I could take you to passages and show you that, but I like to hang in with one passage instead of having you run all over the place. And I think it's good to go to verses, and maybe I should, but there are such things as the synagogues of Satan. Not churches, but synagogues of Satan's. No, and there's doctrines that are doctrines of demons. Now, you can have a nice edifice. Say, this is a church, okay? And we have preacher, you got a Bible. You got a Bible. But it's dead. It's written on the outside, Ichabod. What? Never read a sign outside. Well, the Word of God says that the Spirit of God has departed. Ichabod. But most of us don't want to accept that. We want to say, oh, well, there's good in everything. Don't be saying, I'm only giving you the Word of God. This is truth. Your ideas need to be, and so do mine. We got to understand what God says about it, not what I think about it. What does God say? He's no longer with them. They can sing. They can read their little Bible. And the preacher, he may not believe it. He says it's mythology. Mostly it's in error. It's obsolete. And so he gives his little theological, sophisticated, educational little talks. And people said, oh my, that's nice. That was good. We were at the church and we had this. And if you give me a little entertainment, a little jingle jangle, and I can swing and sway a little bit and raise my hands and hoop it up, I've had a great time. Listen, the Bible says you need to learn how to behave in the church of the living God. Preachers, first of all, it says about preachers. Well, not only preachers, but fellowshippers. Do you know how to behave? Apparently, this generation hasn't paid any attention to the pastoral letters in the New Testament telling them how to behave. Just do our thing. Or it's the way we've always done it. Pick a rut like we used to and keep on going. Don't try to get out or you get in trouble. Oh, well, now, come on. No, it's a church of the living God. I love that. That's a terrific name, a glorious name. And we have a living Savior. Some people like to worship a dead Savior. They worship a crucifix. And they bow down before it and so forth and say, what's wrong with that? That's worshiping a dead Christ. The Bible teaches about a living Christ. And he makes intercession for us. And he's pleading for us, and he's praying for us. He's looking out after us. I want to worship a God like that. I don't want to worship a dead God. In the pagan world, they have carved out certain things in stone and wood, and they bow down to them, and they worship them. But they're dead. There's no life. That's sad. That's why we need to behave, and then we need to give the truth. Then the Spirit of God take the Word of God and save people from dead worship. And that includes people that are in these dead churches, but boy, they're hard to minister to. I don't need anything. I got a member of the church. My mother brought me as a baby. I've been baptized. I'm okay. And so we read the obituary comments and so-and-so now with the Lord. Some of us know them and say, that just doesn't make sense. Well, they were a member of the church, and they were baptized in the baptismal regeneration, and a little drops in the water, that saves you by, from where I come, from the Lutherans. It's one reason why I'm not a Lutheran. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Water does not save you. Well, what's the point here? The point is, do you know how to behave yourself in the church. That is, the church we're talking about this morning is the Church of the Living God, which is talking about Timothy. He said, now, I want you to go to Ephesus, and there in the Church of Ephesus is a Church of the Living God. It's a local church, and they had problems. Now, I like this a little further, don't you? Like it's talking about the house of God. Are you there? Verse 15. He said, I tarry, Timothy, if it's long, I don't get there. I want you to know how you that you ought to behave thyself where? In the house of God. God has a house? Sure. Sure does. Some of these, a house. God has a house? What do you mean God has a house? Yes. I thought you just said it wasn't mortar and bricks. Yes, I did say that. Well, it's when God comes into the hearts and the lives of people, and they are temples of the Holy Spirit, and they join together as a local church. And God, that's God's home. Now, you have a house, don't you? Yeah. Have any children? Well, they're growing up, you know. Did you have any rules? Mother says, it's time to eat. Dad says, I want you home. Any rules of your house? Most households have some rules. No, you can't go there. Oh, Daddy, no, you can't go there. And you say, well, they'll hate you. No, they don't. They appreciate the fact that you try to tell them right in years to come if you bring them up in the right way. But if you didn't bother bringing them up in the right way, that's... you have to give an account for that. But the rules of a house, I was just thinking, I had an uncle, Wills. Boy, he had a house. He was a good farmer, and he raised a family. 17 kids. Wow, sir. 17. If he were to show up with his kids this morning, where would you people sit? One family. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, maybe we did the right thing by telling everybody that you don't need a family, just don't have kids. The Mennonites, the Amish, they don't evangelize. They don't have open-air preaching and things of that sort. They don't tell people. They don't talk to people how to be saved. They said, well, you have your church, we have ours, and we have kids. And so we have kids. That's how we develop our church. We have kids. Do they really? Yes. They don't evangelize. Just have children and teach them the principles of the Bible. We're sophisticates. We're saying, no, 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 no. That's wrong. Marriage counselors, they say, And so we have churches that don't have any young folk. I'm constantly asked about the church here, do you have young people? That's kind of embarrassing. Do you have young people? And I'm not kidding you. Because they know most churches are old gray heads. And so some of us are to blame. We taught the culture of the day. You don't have kids. I mean, they're costly. You can't afford them. there's ways, you know. And so therefore, we old gray heads, we kind of meet in church. Wasn't that nice? Did you learn how to behave? Well, I don't see that's applicable. He said, the people, save people, is a church. Assembly. They assembly together, and they are taught how to obey God's rules and regulations. Did you? Well, preacher, maybe you're the fault. And I can take that pretty seriously. We preachers, if we're sensitive, we can have introspection. Brother Don Ryder says to me one time, he said, you want to preach to the Bible? He says, you can't do it. He said, you'll not make it. And he's right. You can't preach the whole Bible in your lifetime. You say, well, no. But you can tell people this is the Word of God and preach to them the Word of God and let they read the Word of God themselves and learn by themselves what the Bible teaches, because you have the Spirit of God as well as I have the Spirit of God. If you won't read the Bible, then you'll be ignorant. And you'll follow the culture of the day. And you think you're right. Don't tell me I know about how easy it is not to obey the rules of the house of God. I tell you, it's one thing to have a name that you live. The Church of Ephesus had a name that they lived. Well, that's fine. Are we a living church? Down south, my brother was kind of puzzled by church names. And he said, you know, there's one down there that says it's the Living Church. Living Church. Something about life. A life church or something. Hey, I'm telling you, you're known by where you go and where you assemble and what kind of people you are. When you walk the streets, you're part of the fellowship of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, the local church that meets down around the mall. And you folks say you know the book and you preach the Word of God, and they say, oh, I want to see how he lives. I see him down the road a ways. I see him. I know about him. I wonder if he really is genuine. I wonder if she's really genuine. People watch. But oh, he said in verse 15, I want you to know this, he says, by the Spirit of God, how you ought to behave thyself. Where? In the household of God. In the family of God. The household. I like the word household. How to behave in the household of God. Seems somehow or other we just don't know how to do that. We are just happy with, you know, if it's still gone, we have a church. We have some services. Formalism is okay. Or we have rock and roll or something in the church and entertainment. That's okay, too. By the way, if you want to think it's encouragement, the latest news is theologically, as far as ecclesiology, the church is not declining. But young folk are, as far as church tenets, young folk are gaining. They're starting new churches. You say, well, how, that's wonderful. Let's see how they behave, these young folk. Well, you already know. They're into modern music. You say, well, some of those words are all right. Yeah, but I want to tell you something. Some of us have studied the music a little bit and know a little bit about it. That beat that they have is that comes from the rock and roll days. And so they have Christian rock and they have hard rock now. And so they're starting these churches and they have entertainments. And they have charismatics. And they just they're just increasing. Even around town, Williamsport, there's churches that are starting around that stripe. Are you excited? I'm not really. I get excited that we need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing, not worrying about the next person, and that we don't just come and sit in church and do a little singing and listen to a little preaching, and it's all I have to do. Some people have the idea that's what mean church means, to come and sit and to sing, and that's all church is about. You don't have it right. You're not behaving right. Thus saith the Word of God. I want to get into this third chapter. I can't leave it. If you just take your eyes for a moment, it's saying about leadership. Like what? Well, it's talking about the preachers, bishops. It's talking about deacons and their qualifications. You see, some of us old guys are going to leave the scene. And so we have to do our job and say, this is what a preacher is supposed to do, and this is his requirements to be a preacher. Here's what a deacon's supposed to be, and requirements for a deacon, and also talks about the wives in verse 11, that the wives of deacons and preachers, that they need to be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Anyway, there's how to behave, preachers, elders, deacons, wives, how to behave in the house of God, the household of God. and to observe the rules and not just do your thing and think that you've done your job just by, as I just said, simply just by coming to church and sit and sing, and that's all there is to it. No, there's more to that. There's more than that. Well, go on. All right, verse 15, let's go on. We talked a little bit about how we had to, there's behavior, there's rules and regulations. Where? In the house of God, where the assembly of God. All right. And by the way, that assembly is called the church or the assembly of the living God. Not a dead church, not just a formalism. Stand up, sit down, and do a little thing, and then say it's church. No. But it's a church or the assembly of the living God. But the last few words I want us to talk about. The pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, Paul, where in the world you get an expression like that and the Spirit of God is pleased to use it? He said, well, in Ephesus there was one of the wonders of the world. The temple of Diana. Was it really so wonderful? Oh, yeah. How wonderful was it? Well, they had 127 pillars to hold up the roof. Well, 127 is not too bad. It's about as big as a football field. Now, that would be striking. And it was raised up six steps higher than the ground around about it, all marble and with gold. Woo-wee! Must have been some wealthy people. They were wealthy pagans. And they got together and they built the temple of Diana. Her husband's name is Artemis. Glorious, beautiful thing. All these pillars and all this basement of six steps higher than the ground around it, but with solid marble. What wonderful building it was. He says, Timothy, you see, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth, the basement of truth. He says, I know what Paul's saying. You know, you have to explain these things because there's right there in front of your nose. And sometimes we treat the Bible like it's such a foreign book, but it is. It's God's word is just tremendous, people. And he's saying, this is what we're supposed to be like. Well, you mean these columns or these pillars? And they were just marvelous. They had inscriptions on them. You know, this is, Tuesday is election, eh? And they put up signs, hang them all over the place, along the road, on telephone poles, which is against the law. Light poles, that's against the law. But they do it anyway. And say, well, they're inscriptions. They're signs. And these columns that they have these inscriptions on. Now he's saying, to me he's saying, we're all to be pillars. Robbins, are you a pillar? Well, the Bible says I'm supposed to be. Do you have any inscription written on you? Well, here's one we used the other Saturday, an inscription on our pulpit or our riser. Okay, I guess that means that you're not some Jesus, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. You mean there's no other way to heaven except by Jesus? That's the inscription. That's what the Word of God says. When people see you, they ought to say, there goes a real strong person who holds to the truth. Yes, he does. Yes, she does. That is a Christian. And they live it, they talk it, and they'll talk to you about the Lord Jesus. They just don't go to church and sit and sing. They, through the week, they talk about Jesus. You know, Matthew was a tax collector, wasn't he? Yep. He had a full-time job, yep. And the Lord came along and said, you're unemployed. Well, you did not. Follow me. Follow me. But I'm a tax collector. Follow me. As far as I'm concerned, being a tax collector was unemployed. No. Yes. I am a farmer at heart, but I'm also a preacher. Yeah. And what overrides farming is preaching. Yeah. And same with my life. Whatever profession you're in, a vocation you're in, the thing that overrules, you're unemployed unless you follow Jesus Christ and do what he says in the book. Woo! Hey, listen. I can't help it. My face gets rowdy, but you know what I'm saying is, if you say you love the Lord Jesus and Friday, Monday through Saturday, you're just hogging away at it, and you don't talk about Jesus, you don't read the Word of God, and you don't have time to go to church, hey, as far as you're unemployed, I am not. I'm a hard worker. We're all hard workers, aren't we? Yeah, but you may be unemployed. If you say you're a Christian and you're not speaking forth of the Lord Jesus, did you mean I should give up my job? No, I didn't say that. I'm simply saying whatever God has given you to do, you provide for your family. If you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. But while you're providing for your family, remember, your calling is, first of all, and primarily, is that you're a Christian and you speak for your Savior. Prove me wrong, will you? Well, why didn't you? Why was it your nose to the grindstone from 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock every day? And you didn't say a thing about the Lord Jesus. Well, I had to make money to pay for the house to raise my kids. Yeah, I hear you. Did you have 17? You know, we got all kinds of excuses. You know how to learn? Do you know how to behave yourself in the house of God that is the assembly of the living God? Ooh. What does it mean to be a pillar? What do you have a pillar for, a column for? Is it just for prettiness? Ask an architect. He said, well, you dummy, you have to hold the roof up, don't you? Say, yes, sir. Well, that's what it does. It holds up the roof. You don't need to be smart to know that. Spiritually speaking, do you know what it means? To hold up the truth. You? No, not me, the preacher. Yeah, the preacher is right. What about you? Are you one who just comes and sits and sings and says, I know how to be a church fellowshipper? Do you really? Yes. Does it have to be maintained? What? Does a building have to be maintained? Some people work all their time to maintain their house and their home. That's all they do other than the job they have. They just busy all the time maintaining. It's a full-time job almost, maintaining. The church is almost, well, it is a full-time job. The truth has to be maintained. Well, let the preacher do it. Yeah, let the preacher do it, but also you're a pillar. You're to uphold the truth, and there has to be maintenance on your part also. Well, I give money, don't I? Yeah, so do I. But the point of it is it's more than that. Friends, I just sometimes wonder if we really know anything at all. That is the whole church. There's a church here. There are other churches in the around the area. I'm not going to be so broad to say every church I know of is doing this, verse 15. I wouldn't be so naive to say that, but there are folk who still, they do this, they know how to behave, and the Word of God is being proclaimed. I don't say there's a lot of them, friends. Personally, I don't think there's very many. In the last days, there'll be a lack of truth and preaching, but there are some around. And that may surprise some of you. A person could be a believer and not a member of your group. There are people who love the Lord, and they come from different other groups, have different names. We have a name because we believe that it's a name that's associated with the Bible completely. What are you talking about? That word Baptist, don't you be ashamed of that word. Down through history, read the history about them. They're people of the book. They're people of the Bible. You say, well, I know some Baptists that don't amount to anything. I do too. There are some folk in your family that may be, what you say, the black horse in your family, but you still keep your name, don't you? Huh? Or did you give up your name? just because there's someone in the family in your background, does that mean you give up the name? But it's the whole church. And he says, I'm going to tell you, this is what you need to do. You need to teach how to behave yourself in God's house. So we meet together as an assembly. You're an assembly of the living God, not a dead God. You don't need to go sell soup suppers and so forth to keep the church going. You do what the Bible says, behave yourself and do what the Bible says. And he says, it be a living church. Okay. The pillar and the ground of the truth, a foundation. Do you have a good foundation? You know, if you listen to the radio at all or the TV, there are religious programs. Yeah, there are. Come on. There's some religious program. You say, well, there's some good preaching, some good teaching. I have a hard time finding it, but there's some there. And if you listen to some program, say, you know, I never heard the preacher talk about finances like that. That makes a lot of sense to me. That guy, his program basically had to do with finances, Christian finance. Hey, he does a good job, the founder and those that follow him. And there's others, they bring out things that the church hasn't really done much about, and that's why some of them exist. Why? The church hasn't taken care of it, so they said, the church is not doing it, so I guess we might as well start up something. Let's have a radio station or radio program or TV program. And the people said, well, that's interesting. We never hear that at church. And so they said, well, it's called a parachurch. I do not find verse 15 substantiating anything other than the assembly of God's people. You want to read it in for me, please? It's the assembly of the living God. Oh, but I think it's fine. So do I. But it isn't according to the rules of God's household, his family. Well, I don't know what you mean. It's not a church. If the church would understand that their task is to be pillars and the basement or the foundation of the truth, that when you come to church, that you hear the word of God, and you're responsible of listening to it and listening to it and not be out there chasing something for next week's plans. But when you leave here, you say, I know what was said. But if you play around with your head, I know what you're talking about. You're all over the place. Next Tuesday, maybe. I got some things to do. And you don't listen. You're going to give an account of what you hear and check it out as Bereans. And I'm going to give an account of what I say. It's a two-way street. Don't forget it. The day is coming to give an account of our service for the Lord Jesus. Well, what's the point? The point of it is each of us are to be pillars and to have the ground of the truth. We ought to have a background. We expect the preachers to preach the Word of God. Give us the truth. Give us the Word of God. But also we put a hand to it and read the Word of God and do some studying on our own, and that you'd be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You say, I don't know anything. I flunk. I often think if we were to give a test theologically around here, how do you think you would do? Well, some of you are students. No problem, preacher. Well, not all of us are students. Would you pass what has been taught to you down through the years? Or did you play church? Remember when you're a little boy, getting back in the car and boom, 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 boom? And I believe you can do that with church. Just play. Have you obeyed the Lord in repenting? Like one Christian told me some years ago, he says, repent. No, 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 you got it wrong, preacher. I repented, I turned my sins and trusted Jesus Christ. No repentance more for me. So what? I don't have to repent anymore. And he believed this. He's a leader in a church. I did repent, and I trusted Jesus Christ. No repentance necessary now. Wait a minute. Something about confessing our sins? Huh? In 1 John, written to Christians? And that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Do Christians sin, or do they walk on water? I've yet to say it. I get maybe Tara here and see you hearing this. I haven't seen any of us walk in water yet. We are sinners. Thought word indeed. You say, well, come on. Yeah, well, read the track if you think you're all fine. Well, don't promote it. No. Repent. Turn. That word repentance, I'm going down this way, and I said, I'm wrong about that thing, and say, well, I'm sorry, Lord. No, he said, I want you to turn from it. Repentance is to turn and go that way. That's for Christians also. Do you know how to behave in the house of God? In the assembly of the living God? Oh, dear friends, take it to heart. This house, the assembly of the living God, we're to function as a pillar and the ground of the truth. The truth. The truth shall make you free. Christ is the way. Yes, and he's the truth. We need to be promoting Christ. The inscriptions on these columns ought to have that I'm a follower of Christ. He's my master. He's my Lord. And I talk about him whatever I can in season and out of season. I think I'm going to leave it there. Leave you out a few minutes earlier. I'll make up for it maybe some other time. But I think it's an important subject. I think that this next hymn that is important for us to understand. I really believe this. If we were just to listen to the hymns this morning, we wouldn't have to have a preaching. That's how good these hymns are. Number 280, and as it was made clear that the kingdom is not the same as the church, it goes wider than that, but it's applicable to, if you're going to be part of the kingdom, you ought to be part of a local church. Number 280, I love thy kingdom, or I love thy church, O God. 280. Here we are, Father, and providentially you brought us together, and we looked at this verse. And our Father, we see that there is the truth. And as you have your house, your house, God's house, and how we need to know how to behave ourselves in it. And it is assembly of the living God. It's also the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, Father, we ask that you would forgive us for our nonchalant attitude, perhaps, about spiritual things, and that you give us hearts to obey, to trust and obey. And that's the secret of happiness with the Lord Jesus. Thank you for looking after us. Thank you for saving us. And Lord, as we meet in a group, it's always a possibility that there are those who really do not know Jesus Christ savingly, that they have not turned from their sins personally and trusted personally Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've not received Him. And so I pray right now, or we pray together, that you would work in hearts of those that need Christ to be saved. How easy it is to deceive ourselves and to think that everything is just fine when we're not. And then there's also the matter of sins that need to be forsaken too from your people. Lord, help us to be really true pillars, showing forth the inscription that we belong to Christ. And that not only that, that we study to have a good foundation, that we can give an answer in time of questioning. And so we're asking for your will in our lives. Help us to take these things seriously. Help us to see that as Christians, we need to give an account in the day when our Lord Jesus comes back. And now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or complete in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.